What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the BalmBox comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's THEBALMBOX.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need Balm.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm your host, Nicole Mendez for the Diamond of the South. As always, make sure you like and subscribe, not just to my pod, but to the rest of the Softball America podcast networks. We've got a lot of them and a lot of updates going on. As softball season has gotten underway, it has been an insane past few weeks in conference play. And I think I was talking with Tori Vidalis a couple weeks ago, and we were chatting about the state of SEC and how much this year you never know who's it going to be, who's going to take a win, take something away, who's going to be the player that makes that home run, who's going to be the pitcher that steps in. And honestly, for today, that is the question that was answered for us. So today we have Caitlin Riley. She is the SEC co-pitcher of the week. And I am just honestly so, so pumped to be able to bring her in. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining me. Before we get started, let me just rattle off some stats, some really, really awesome. Saturday, game one versus Oklahoma. You started the game. You went 5.2 innings. You allowed four hits and one walk, and you struck out three. Now, Monday night, game three, series on the line. Had a career high eight innings for a complete game win. Tied your season high with five strikeouts, and you were just so, honestly, just so impressive with your poise in the circle. I mean, you would have your moments where you're fired up. Like, don't get me wrong. I've seen you come off the field, bases loaded, and I'm like, holy cow, she is fired up. She's going for it. But just your poise and your composure on the field, that was something that really stood out to me exactly. So take me through it. Take me through the emotions of the entire weekend, kind of from like a 30,000 foot view.
So I've always wanted to play against OU because they've been so dominant in college softball throughout the years. And it's a moment that you've dreamt about your whole life. And having that moment, I knew that I needed to focus on my breathing, more mental aspects of things. Because for me, I can't get too high or too low, because if that happens, it is game over. So for me, it's just like trying to stay even keel as much as possible. And I believe in the power of one deep breath. I believe Audrey talked about her breathing a little bit, but for me, like, I take multiple deep breaths. And like, I was taught from a young age, like, feel where you are. So I think in one of the last couple innings, I literally like reached down and I felt the dirt, because I could feel myself getting a little high. And I was like, hey, be where your feet are, like, stay here. Layer, and that's just kind of what locked me back in that third game. But overall, all weekend, it was just a fun experience, especially to have roads that packed out all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, talk about the crowd, the atmosphere. That was something that I loved. I had always wanted to play at Alabama whenever I was at OU. So I guess you got the better end of the deal. I never got to play Bama at Bama, but the crowd, I've always heard about it. And I remember walking into the stadium and I'm seeing the berm start to fill up, and you had the lower bowl kind of crowded out, and then you had your football team over there and they were causing a ruckus. Like, it was such a fun atmosphere and everybody was so into it.
For sure.
I love whenever there's softball fans out there that just appreciate the game. Like, you obviously you're cheering for your team, but you just appreciate the game of softball. And that, to me, you see Bama fans and like they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like OU fans are like that as well. It's just, it's fun whenever you have those kind of environments coming together. Oh, yeah. But this is your first year at Bama, and I've seen a couple of interviews where you've talked about the transition and coming over, but kind of on the softball side of things, like, have you felt that there's been a big mindset shift for you as you transitioned over to Bama, just as a pitcher, just a little bit older, a little bit wiser, new team, new philosophy?
For me, it's more about utilizing like everything that I have, because I've been around the SEC for a while now, and everyone's kind of like seen
around.
Everybody's seen a little bit of like what I have. And so there's like, you just got to pull out all the tricks of the bag. And I think for me, it helps like getting back in a different type of weight room. So just like how we do things there is different. Like, we had lift this morning and we're going to leave this afternoon. So it'll be really good for us. And I think it's like that part for me has helped a lot.
Yeah. I guess that kind of leads me into that next question of, we were talking before we started recording about the body, like, have you come down from the high yet? And, you know, whenever you're at your high, you're high, and then the body crashes, especially mid-season. First half of this question is, from your first outing to your second on Monday, how recovery-wise, what were you doing, kind of knowing, okay, I might be able to be back out there, I have to be ready, I have to be recovered?
For me, Jocelyn going the whole way on Sunday was big. So it was like, I didn't have to really worry about that so much of like, oh, I have pitched in both games already. Like, having her go the distance was amazing, and she did lights out. And then also just on like the actual recovery piece of it, Fireflies, being in the training room, all that kind of stuff is like key for me. Like, ACR athletic trainer is lights out about that stuff for sure.
I love that. Are you a big cold tubber?
Only when I need to. That's my thing, because I grew up on them, and so I have a love-hate relationship with them for sure.
Would you rather go like a sauna versus a cold tub?
Yes, or I would like cryo. Because you get in, get out. So that's quicker than a cold tub.
I was very much like, I have to have the booties on. I had to write the right music. I had to and like get in really quick. I was a big baby. So I'm glad I'm still not the only one. I hated the cold tub. Only whenever I had to, though.
Same.
And then recovery wise, like, again, we talk about it, like, man, SEC has been a grind this year. Their talent, the upsets, all of that. Which is no surprise, but I just feel as a whole, not just SEC, but around the country, like, playing field is, it's a little bit more even this year, and you're feeling it in the competition. Whenever you get to middle conference, though, no matter what conference, no matter who you are, your body feels it, especially as an upperclassman. Like, girl, my fifth year, I was like, oh, how did I do this?
Oh, yeah.
My freshmen are like scampering around. I'm like,
y'all are funny.
This is not fair. But for you, big series, another big series coming up. How do you make sure that you get your rest? How do you make sure you recover before you guys travel?
I try to go to sleep at between like 10 and like 11 every night, or sooner if I can. Because for me, if I don't sleep, like get to bed at those times, I won't sleep the whole day, which is something I found out really early on in my career, because my first 2 years, I really didn't sleep a whole lot. When I was first getting to college, a lot of it had to do with like a lot of just like stress, learning how to balance school and all that kind of stuff. But me having a set routine has helped me figure that out really well.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Talking about going to bed early and routine and all of that, you mentioned you like to live a little bit farther away from campus. Yeah. What made you go, okay, like, I want to be a little bit separate? And also, just please tell everyone how far you live, because my reaction, I said,
So traffic depending, I could be 20 to 30 minutes, but on a good day, it's like 15 minutes. I live that far away because I like to like just decompress afterwards. And it's just really nice for me to just to like listen to music and just drive on home.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said it whenever you first told me, you said it again. You're like, traffic depending. Like you're putting out the professor. You're like, hey, it isn't always that far. I just remember driving home from like we get back from an away series and it'd be like so late. And I'm just driving home. It's like 2 or 3 minutes and I'm like, do you ever get like that driving home?
I'm so tired. But I live closer to the airport than I do campus. So it's nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you were smart. You thought ahead.
Yes.
Smart. There we go. Then you're good. You're set. I think that's a big piece though. Like sometimes as athletes, it's so easy to get wrapped up into the sport. It's your world. You have to make it your world. It takes up and consumes so much of your time. You're quite literally getting a scholarship to play and perform. And with that, sometimes, especially in season, it's hard to find those. All right. How do I decompress? How do I reset? For you, it's going on the drive, 15 minutes, just 20 minutes, traffic depending. But with music and things like that, but what else do you do whenever things just start to get a little busy? Kind of, I would equate it to whenever you were saying, I can feel myself getting worked up and I go, okay, I have to touch the ground and literally be where I'm at. What grounds you?
I live with my dog. So she's a blue heeler mix. She's crazy as all get out, so high energy. So I'll go take her on walks, which is really good. So we have a little like golf course around here. So I'll take her on walks around there. So that's what I really like to do.
Oh, that's so sweet. How old is she?
She's just over a year.
So you got her recently?
Yes, I did.
Oh my gosh. How has that been?
It's been fine. She's really easy to take care of. The hardest part is when we're traveling, but other than that, it's been fine.
Yeah. Travel with a dog is crazy. I had a little shih tzu. She just curled up and slept all day, but I was like, please, somebody watch my dog.
Yes.
I love it. Well, I always tell all the girls that I interview, but I stalk all of y'all on Instagram before we come on. And I was just scrolling through your page. I was stalking you a little bit. And one video in particular really stopped me. And it was your senior day video. And it was so sweet. And that moment that it really does, it hits you and you go, man, like this has been my career. This has been everything that I've worked up to this point. And you know, it's not the end. Season's not over. You still have a ways to go, but it just something about it is just like so touching to stop and acknowledge. Tell me about your senior day. Like how special was that? Who came out to see you?
My mom, my dad, and all my grandparents, my uncle, my cousins, like we had a crew, so it was fun. And I was grateful that they were able to be there, because I have had some family members pass away that I would have loved to have here, but they weren't able to be because it's just like life has its weird timings. But it was amazing. I couldn't ask for a better senior day being here for 1 year. Like Murph says, I've told him this since I've got here, I'm trying to fit 4 years into 10 months because I love it here that much. And I love the people, not even just the program. They have an amazing program and a culture here. But just like the people you meet day to day, like Miss Sherry, she's one of our secretaries. I sit and talk with her because I'm in an online master's program. I'll go sit up and talk to her for like 10, 20 minutes a day, like whenever I stop by the office, because I'm just like, hey, I'll just hang out for a little while. So just like seeing those type of people, it made it like really special for me.
Yeah. Oh man, that part's just so special, right? And I think there's something about whenever, because again, as athletes, you get so wrapped up into your sport. But I think there's something to be said for programs and universities that really have that kind of atmosphere. Drawing on my own experience at OU, like I love the fact that I was friends with teams from other sports and people from other sports. And then you get to know the people in the athletic department. It feels like a family, and that's kind of what it sounds like it is for you. Have you been able to get to meet a lot of people from other sports and just get to, cause I know it's hard, like in an online master's program, you only have 10 months, right? Yeah.
How so I've met a couple different people from a couple different sports, which is really cool. Sarah, who just got drafted in the WNBA, I met her a couple times. Just hung out with them. Tracks all around always, I feel like.
That's pretty cool. I thought that was really awesome how they showed that up on the big screen during the game. Just those players getting drafted and the crowd reaction. I was like, oh man, this is awesome. I love it so much. And then kind of shifting over to and this is for the viewers, but honestly, it's really for me. I love talking softball IQ. I think that's one thing, just to be able to learn from elite athletes, to be able to continue to grow as an athlete myself. I want to know these questions. So we're just going to do some softball IQ questions and we're just going to get to the nitty gritty. I think going off of that, there's a mindset shift that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And I always talk about season being, there's really like three seasons within a season. You have preseason, you have conference, and then you have postseason. Mm-hmm. And it feels a lot more, man, I just got to get through into postseason. Okay, like then I'm home free. But you have those very specific sections. Whenever, and this is your, you've been in the SEC, you've experienced all these things. So whenever, tell me your thought process whenever you're in preseason, whenever you're in conference, which you are right now, and then postseason.
So preseason's just taking care of the body, finding, tuning everything in the middle of regular season, still fine tuning everything and like not trying to peak too soon. Heavy recovery, like really mindful of what I eat and that kind of stuff. Postseason, heavy recovery, keeping what I have working, and then just like trying to build some other things up that aren't quite working well as well, like certain pitches and that kind of stuff. And then again, heavy recovery, because it's like that grind of season.
Yeah, that grind of season is absolutely no joke. It'll get you. And it's this sneaky kind of way. All of a sudden you're great. And then one day you wake up and you're like, my legs are dead. Mm-hmm. What happened? And then you just, well, I got to figure out how to play with my legs that aren't working and they're not pushing the same way. And postseason is definitely a whole different animal and a whole different beast. But I think that whenever it comes to the latter half of this conference season and you get to postseason, everyone else physically, they're gonna be tired, right? But there's this, and you can see it whenever you watch teams, but there's like a mental shift that happens. Mm-hmm. And you talk about not wanting to peak too soon. Like obviously, like physically you're still all right, like wow, all of a sudden one day I just figured out my curveball and it's great. And there's that aspect to it. But then there's something mentally that clicks and you're just at the next level. Mm-hmm. For you, have you experienced like a moment where you're like, oh, like it just clicks. Like I can feel myself rise up to the next level and this is where I'm at right now.
For me, it was kind of like a mind shift about like a couple weeks right after my senior day, if I'm being honest. Cause I was like, oh crap, it's literally like my last go around. Like it didn't like hit me until right after that.
Yeah.
It was just like leaving it all out there. Like I give it all. I get physically, emotionally drained after every game because I just want to leave it out there as much as possible. Like that's why I have a little bit of a drive home, because I don't want to, like, for me, once my social battery is drained, it is gone. And I'm like, I just want to not talk to anybody. So that's what, like, me after games is just like a little bit more of like a, okay, I'm done for the day kind of thing.
So blocking out.
Yeah. Like, all right. But other than that, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. So whenever a pitch isn't hitting, or maybe like a hitter has your timing, how do you adapt? Because I think that's something, if you're a pitcher listening in and you're wanting to know, like, man, like I have my stuff, it typically works, but like, how do I change it? Like, how do I adapt? How do I learn how to do that and be present? Was there a moment during the OU series that you go, okay, they're they're on me. I got to pivot. I got to change.
Mm-hmm. So that's where like communication with whoever's calling your pitches, I feel like is brutal, like critical. Yes. Because Lance and I have like so many conversations all the time, because early on we were calling like my drop more at like a different location. And I was like, hey, can we try to focus on more like another aspect of my drop than just like the location piece of it? So that, and like that's really helped me so much, just like to ladder pitches.
Yeah.
So for me, laddering my drop ball is key. And so like if it gets elevated, it's gonna go. And so for me, keeping it low and like laddering it down and like out and like is what's critical for me and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Whenever you're tossing your drop, do you get to feel like in the box, you see the hitters shift and move around, you make those adjustments accordingly? How, whenever you see that happen, is it a conversation that you have with your coaches after like the inning goes, or are you making that like hitter by hitter?
For me, it's hitter by hitter, because no, like OU's lineup did none of them stand in the same spot in the box. I can pretty much tell you that.
You're like, please just be consistent.
I'm like, all right. So we just got to like adjust batter to batter. And like, sometimes it's pitch to pitch, depending on the hitter, like where they are in the box and that kind of stuff. So like they could shift forward up closer to me or forward to the plate and that kind of stuff. And that will determine like kind of how I personally approach them. And it's not always just like with Lance and the coaches, it's me and my catcher too. So like me and Riley can like talk about it too, like in the middle of the game, and like she'll see it too, because sometimes from that side view they don't have the best view of like width and stuff.
I love that constant communication and talk, and kind of like what you were saying a little bit earlier of just being able to ladder pitches and knowing, okay, just as you adjust hitters, especially really good hitters, which SEC has a lot of, they also adjust. Kind of talk to me through your philosophy on pitch sequencing or laddering, as you call it, and how it changes from inning one to inning seven. Are you still relying? Because I think sometimes you'll have your pitchers, there's like two camps of pitchers where one, they're like, I'm relying on these pitches, and I maybe later in the game I'll incorporate a changeup, but I'm really going to stick to these pitches and I'm just going to try to make the pitch sequence unpredictable. And then you have the other camp where they're like, all right, I'm going to go with these two. And then whenever I get later into games, I'm going to toss in two other pitches to make it feel as if I'm a different pitcher. Do you feel like you fall in one camp or the other?
Probably the first one of like, but like I mix in my changeup a lot more.
Yeah.
Because it's what helps keep me effective. Because it's kind of different than what most people, like a traditional changeup is. Yeah. So that's like why I think it's so effective, and I can throw it from the jump, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that, because just being able to, I think, like weave those different pitches and read those hitters in game is so, so important. It's hard as a pitcher to be aware of that. Do you feel like there was a moment for you, maybe not this year, but whenever throughout your career as a pitcher, where you started to become less of a thrower and more of a pitcher, like, oh, okay, she moved up in the box. Like, let me start that drop a little bit lower. So by the time she reaches it, it's not high, it's down, and she's swinging over it.
The philosophy idea kind of started my junior year, and just kind of like starting to figure it out a little bit more of like, oh, actually pay attention to where the batter is in the box and not just throw the pitch where it's called. And so it's like, oh, this makes more sense to me. Like, hey, we're going to spot it here, but also like, worry about if you need to start the break sooner or later, depending on where they are in the box.
Sure. Yeah. And last question before we wrap it up with a rapid fire, but since you've been at Bama, is there a hitter because I think you can learn so much from the other side. Is there a hitter at Bama that you're like, man, I love to hear her talk hitting, because I feel like I get insight into a hitter's head.
So I love talking to Marley and Kendall Clark, but also I like talking to our lefties a lot, especially from like the slappers perspective of like Kristen White and Kenley Pate, like just hearing how they see the balls moving, because from a slapper running through the box, it's completely different than a righty power hitter. And so like having both of those aspects are amazing for me.
Yeah. Girl, you all got it all over there, and you guys were clicking on all cylinders this weekend. I just, man, good softball. Good softball is so fun to watch. You guys are so fun to watch. You're about to head into a really big series against Florida this weekend. I cannot, that starred, underline, cross, like, I'm going to be tuning into that. I'm sure a lot of people are as well. But as far as being able to stay within yourselves, kind of what's the talk that Murph has been given to you guys as you guys are starting to ramp up for this weekend?
Just staying true to who we are and just like staying together, staying connected, which is like been key for us from the jump. But that's one thing we've been like very power, like prominent on. So just staying with that, just like, cause like I say, try to stay connected with like my catcher, me and Callie. I talk to Callie literally, like I think every other pitch during the middle of the game. And I hear all the time talking, which is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. Whenever you walked into y'all's locker room and everybody started chanting MVP, what was that moment like? I could hear them all the way out in the cage. I was like, what is going on in there?
It was awesome. I have like never experienced anything like that before. It was a surreal moment for me, if I'm going to be honest. Like I felt like I was on cloud nine.
Oh man, what a celebration, what a moment. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining. I really, really appreciate you coming on. Make sure you get your rest and recovery and have a fun 10 to 30 minute drive, depending on traffic, to the field as you guys get ready to head out to Florida.
All right, thank you so much. You have a good rest of your day. Bye.
You too. Oh man, I love that. And if you're an OU fan, I'm still very much an OU Sooner alum. I love my Sooner girls, but I love softball even more. And I love a good game. And I love to see competition. And it's fun. You cannot tell me that you would prefer a game like that. I would prefer a game that is neck and neck all the way. Have to go extra innings. You have great defense. You have great pitching over... Oh, I'm just run ruling. Like, that is boring. I don't want to see that. I want to see competition. I want to see the game just flourish and grow. For me, that's something that's super fun. And like I had mentioned, I was in Alabama. I was at Rhodes on Monday. That was my first time ever going. And I remember in college, there's a couple of places. Oregon, whenever Mike White was there, that was a really fun crowd experience. Texas is always really fun. I always wanted to play at LSU and I always wanted to play at Bama. I heard the crowd is insane and I don't know what it is, but I love whenever a crowd gets a little rowdy, they like get a little fired up. That to me as a player, like that just made it so fun. And getting to watch and experience it as a fan, as a member of the media, I just was having a blast. Greg Robertson, shout out. Make sure you like and subscribe again, not just my pod, also his Out of the Box and all of the other pods that we have on Softball America Network. He was a gracious host. He is the radio guy for Alabama softball. And so he showed me around town, took me, to a couple of different local spots. We had a good time. And I think I've always heard the biggest thing that I was outside of softball that I was shocked about. I had always heard that the Greek life was bigger and better at Bama. And I was like, yeah. And then we're driving on campus and I'm looking and I'm like, I wonder what school building that is. And it turns out that is actually a Greek house. And it is just so big, so ginormous. I'm like, that can't be real. It was insane. Their campus was beautiful. Very, very beautiful, very pristine. And I didn't know this, but they have the fourth best journalism school in the country. So shout out Bama for that. One thing that I loved, a common bond, had breakfast there with Gray before I flew out the next day, but they 10 out of 10 would recommend. I'm very much a London Fog girl. And I don't drink coffee. And one thing that I am on the lookout for is typically a really good coffee shop will also have really good tea. So I judge coffee shops based on their tea, and they had excellent tea. It was a great experience. Their downtown was super cute. There were a ton of shops and restaurants just kind of in a quarter area. So all you had to do was kind of circle around and you would be able to spend a couple hours there. A couple of stores, I was like, I could drop some cash here. Better not go in. But overall, it was such a great experience. Bama fans were so gracious. Great hosts. Great host. But this weekend, last weekend was chaotic. And not only was Oklahoma upset, I need to talk about the rest of the SEC. Upset-wise, we have to talk about Tennessee and Texas. Because going into this, I felt like Texas had been pretty steady Eddie. I mean, they had their oopsies, but there wasn't anything big that made me go, ooh, ooh. That makes me go, ooh. And not in a way that I think, oh, Texas is so bad, but it makes me go, ooh, in a way where I have to look at Tennessee and go, two. They have won the series against Oklahoma. They have won the series against Texas. Carlin Pickens is the real deal. She is insane. So to be able to go in and do that against the two top teams in the country, unreal, impressive, caps off. I know Tennessee this year as a team, they focus a lot more on being able to work on their mental side of the game. They've had the talent in the past, but I think where their shortcomings have happened have been on the mental side. Shifting that mindset, especially whenever you're going against top teams, it takes you from the place of, oh, I'm just competing, to, oh, I want to win. I want to dominate. I don't want to just be in this game. I want to win this game. I want to absolutely crush this game. And it doesn't sound like a huge difference, but it really, really is whenever you get into the nitty-gritty of everything.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the BalmBox comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need Balm.
And if you're Texas, no reason to stress, no reason to worry, all of that. You're good. You're good. But you do want to be consistent from here on out. Now, Texas A&M Aggies. Whoop! Tori Vidalis and I, we work out together every morning. And I saw her this morning, and she is a Texas A&M alum, just one of the greats over at A&M. And I saw her this morning, and she goes, "Have you looked at the poll yet?" And I am cracking up because for the first time, this is awesome. And she is such a proud alum, so happy about it. I'm happy for them. And for the first time in program history, Texas A&M is ranked one. I mean, that is huge. And as Tori and I were talking about it, she made a really good point of, and it's not in the era where you have your few top teams and everyone else is down here. It's everyone's kind of fighting over who should be one, who should be in the top 10, who should be in the top 25. There's so much parity this year, and it really is anybody's game. She said, to me, that number one ranking means a little bit more whenever everybody's that good. And I love that perspective and that insight from her. Really, really excited to see what the Aggies do coming up as conference continues to roll around, we are so close. I honestly, you know what? I'm going to look up my calendar because I feel like we keep getting closer and closer to the end of season or end of conference play. And I'm like, man, like it can't be that far, right? But really, we have 1, 2, 3 weekends. And then the fourth weekend, we're a month away from SEC conference tournament. Like that's insane. That is just being able to live in that world where you're on that tail end as an athlete. Talk about not just recovery, but as you're going and transitioning into that latter half, you want to be on the downhill sprint starting, if not now, which you do, you want to be on the downhill sprint starting in 2 weeks at the latest. Like that is where you want that momentum, that momentum to get going and get crushing. That is so, so important as a team where you're not only figuring out the physical side, but you're also figuring out the chemistry side. What makes a team come together? What makes you really come up and elevate? Honestly, I think that's probably one of the biggest things. So big series this weekend, Alabama, they're going to be at Florida. Florida for me has been a bit of a question mark. Whenever Rothrock was out, obviously, but whenever she came back, there was a couple games where I didn't see her throwing like her typical self, and slightly concerning, just a little bit. And not to say that they can't figure it out. Again, if not now, by the end of 2 weeks, I want to see Florida on that downhill, on that sprint. But Alabama's on a high, and you can take it and you can run with it and you can have a really, really good run. And if Alabama could get a big series win against Florida this weekend, that would be insane. In Florida, if you're able to establish that dominance, that shoots you back up towards the top of SEC. Another series that I'm really looking forward to, which I feel like this may be a little underrated, but Texas A&M at Missouri. Missouri has been the team this year that's just kind of like nipped some games and gotten away with this and gotten away with that. And whenever you're this tight of a race, whenever you're in this tight of a race, every single game matters. Every single game counts. And so if you're A&M, you're now ranked one, you now have the target on your back. Missouri, they're going to try to nip one. They're going to try to steal one from you, if not two, if not three. But they are going to be gunning. I'm really, really curious because Missouri has been successful at that this year so far. And with A&M now in the one spot, all eyes are on them. Auburn at Tennessee, Ole Miss at Georgia, and then we're going to have Colorado State at Arkansas throughout this weekend. But this one is my number one for the weekend. You have, Kentucky at South Carolina as well, Mississippi State at Oklahoma. But my number one series for this weekend is going to be LSU at Texas. I want to see how Texas responds to this. And it wasn't that long ago that LSU was crushing. So how does LSU take advantage of a really big matchup? I mean, you win a series against a team like Texas, you make waves. You jump up in polls, you jump up in spots, and we're getting towards the end of the season where it matters where you are ranked. Being ranked in the top 8 versus in the top 16, it matters. If you're lower than that, you're 17 downwards through the top 25, it matters where you are ranked. So for LSU, this is a big series to be able to get a big time punch and give yourself a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a bump. Standings in SEC as they are right now, Texas A&M, they are 11-3 in conference. Texas is 11-4. Oklahoma, 10-5. Florida, 9-6. Again, a really big weekend for them if they're able to boost themselves up. Tennessee, they are also 9-6. Mississippi State, 9-6 as well. Arkansas, 10-8. LSU, 8-7. South Carolina, 7-8. Ole Miss, 7-8. Alabama, 7-8. Talk about pushing yourself over these teams, these borderline bump teams, if you're Alabama against this series against Florida. Then we have Kentucky, who is 6-9, Georgia, who is only 5-12 in conference, Auburn, who is 4-14, and Missouri, 3-12. And again, Missouri, they're last in the conference, but they just, the games that they nip away, and this is not a team that you want to have a game stolen from you. You have to be on your guard if you're Texas A&M against Missouri. I think it's really, really important. But that is all I have. I'm so curious. Make sure you reply in the comments. Who do we think is the best team right now in SEC and why? What do we think the best series matchup this weekend is? Like I said, I think it's going to be Texas and LSU. I think they're going to be on a roll. I think it's going to be a really, really good series, as well as Texas A&M and Missouri. I think those are two really, really good ones. Obviously, I'm going to be watching Alabama and Florida. That is a non-negotiable for me. We'll just have the quad box set up whenever I'm watching at home. But other than that, I hope everybody has a great Easter weekend, a great softball weekend. As always, make sure you like and subscribe to not just my podcast, Diving in the South, but to all of the Softball America Network podcasts. There are so many out there. And really, like, I'm not just saying that, but there really are so many out there that Softball America has put out, where the research has been put into it, where you're passionate, you're knowledgeable, you know all the things, and you're able to put this into a podcast. So if you're a fan of softball, this is definitely the place for you. Make sure to follow me on social media handles at Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, underscore Mendez, M-E-N-D-E-S, double underscore. And I will see you guys next time.